Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 41 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm joined here by Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
You know, I had a pretty good day. How are you, Anthony?
I also had a pretty decent day. I'm exhausted, but good day all around.
How was your Easter?
My Easter was very nice. It was nice. I had some family over. We had a bit of a small gathering type thing. It was nice to finally see them again. How about you?
I had a good Easter. I've had a pretty big week so far. Passed my driver's test, so I'm going to get my picture taken tomorrow at 4:30 a.m. Well, I'm leaving it. You get the point. I have to wake up early. Visited Penn State. Getting my first vaccine dose tomorrow. I didn't tell you that. So, yeah, Pfizer gang. Yeah, you guys are lucky you didn't see what I just did on the visual. but it's good. Sports teams are doing good right now after the ugly first weekend. Tonight was good.
Okay, yeah, we're good with that. Tonight, so we've got a decent amount of actually talk about today. We have three sports. We'll hit on the Rangers as well. So let's say four sports.
As always, Kyle will talk about the Rangers for the last 3 minutes of the show.
Perfect, perfect. So where are we going to start right now? You want to go baseball?
Or do you want to talk? Yeah, we should definitely start with baseball. Do you want to talk first?
Yeah, so let me go with Mets first. So
let's go, Mets! The Mets are back! And back in both ways, because they won tonight and they lost yesterday in Mets fashion. So you go. I'm excited.
Okay. So, well, first off, last time we recorded, we had the Mets season preview. We had Zoe on, and we were really hyped for the game against the Nationals. And all of a sudden, they announced that the first game was postponed. So we're like, okay, that's fine. Then the entire series.
Talk about what happened at close to midnight right before that. A certain shortstop signed a certain extension.
Oh, that's right. We didn't hit on that.
We didn't talk about that yet.
Yeah, I forgot. I thought we already talked about that. Yeah, so Lindor got his deal. 331. I think that they did pay him a little much, but overall, I'm just happy that they were able to finally come to terms on something that was way too close to the deadline than it should have been.
They had to lock him up. They had to lock him up. So like, they did what they had to do.
I think that was definitely the correct move. I know that he's 27, but I just feel like that was the best possible option. I mean, it would be a lot better than letting him walk to free agency, especially after what you gave up in that trade. So, yes, good. That is good.
The Mets did something right. They had to get that done, and they did. So, good on the Mets.
And then last night was the Mets' official opening day, kind of after –
after the Nationals ruined society. And then, of course, they got a walk-off win today. So I love Juan Soto. He got a nice walk-off base hit today.
I wasn't able to catch most of the game yesterday, but the Mets did end up losing in Mets fashion. As you said before, they were not able to help their hero, Mr. DeGrom, win the first game of the season. And overall, just very sloppy game. Came down to the end, as usual. And, yeah. Look, genuinely, I feel like it's the first game of the season, first time that most of these players are playing together. They were able to come back tonight and show why they should be considered a good team. It was an 8-4 win tonight. It really shouldn't have been 8-4. It should have been 8-2, but that's not the point.
Yeah, that last inning was ugly.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, overall, some big things to hit on real quick. Mets hitting doesn't look terrible. Last night, it was definitely a struggle. But in terms of tonight, we had a Pete Alonso homer, which was nice to see. It's been a while since we've been able to see one of those. Overall, just the team looked good tonight, I feel like. I don't know. It gave me confidence. And then right after the game, Steve Cohen tweeted, "See, that was easy," which is very, very nice.
Definitely had that in the drafts from last night and quickly just said, nah.
But, I mean, look, it's really true that we need to make sure – like,
Stroman was good.
Stroman was good, but we're two games into the season and we're already having issues with the bullpen. I mean
– I knew you were going to say that.
I really think that – I mean, look, I think the Mets had a good offseason, but they really probably should have tried to get hit on the bullpen a little more. They should have probably tried to sign a few more guys, one or two. But, look, I really believe that this Mets – bullpen are the little Einsteins, so it's really not helping them in any way. I mean, you saw tonight, like I said, it should have been an 8-2 win, but in the last inning, it was an 8-4 win. And you know what? In terms of tonight, it doesn't necessarily matter because that win was, I mean, before the last inning, that win was deserved. And the pitching from Stroman was really good tonight, but yep. I don't know. I feel like that there's going to be more games this season that end up just like the last season and the season before where the Mets are going to get screwed over by bad bullpen pitching.
I mean, I see a lot of people getting on Luis Rojas for his bullpen management. I think that it's a combination of maybe he might not be good at doing that. He might not be a good bullpen manager, but like the Mets bullpen's not good either. Like it seems like Trevor May and who was the other guy last night? The lefty for the Mets that imploded. Oh my God, I'm not remembering. It's not just Wilson because he's a Yankee now.
I mean, look.
I'm checking what his name is.
No, you have Familia, you have Betances, you have Gazelman.
Aaron Loop, that's who it was. Aaron Loop.
Yes.
May and Loop. I mean, no, the thing that would concern me if I were a Mets fan, and I watched the last couple innings of the Mets game, they really tried to avoid Betances and Familia. And Familia wasn't good, obviously. He got the last three outs, but he didn't look good. He allowed a bunch of defensive indifferences, just looked lazy. They're avoiding Betances. They really squeezed a lot out of Trevor May. I don't know. Like, there's definitely still question marks in the Mets bullpen. So anyone thinking that was completely fixed is wrong.
Over the first two games, Mets bullpen has just under five innings pitched. They have 11 hits, which really is not something you want to see over two games. Five earned runs, two walks, six strikeouts. Doesn't really seem like something you want to see this early, especially with this Mets team. Because, look, there's going to be games, unlike tonight, where it's going to come down to the last inning or two. And we can't keep losing in the same Mets fashion that have been the same way over the past three, 4 years. We need to get past this sort of Edwin Diaz mindset where we can't leave it to our bullpen because we know what's going to happen with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, think about the Mets is like, that's the way the Mets have been losing baseball games for a really long time.
No, 100%.
And one thing I will say of the Mets games I've watched over the last 2 years is that they seem to have those kind of implosions more often when Jacob deGrom is the starting pitcher. Is it just me, or does it feel like it happens more often when he starts the game?
Yeah, because they always find a way to disappoint him.
Yeah, it's honestly sad. But, I mean, hey, they got enough runs to get it done tonight. But, like, if Alonso doesn't hit that home run in the top half, the bottom would have been scary. So that's definitely something the Mets are going to need to sort out. I think that is still their biggest question mark. Look, they're going to hit. Francisco Lindor is a great hitter. Dom Smith and Pete Alonso, who both homered tonight, great hitters. Nimmo, great hitter. Conforto, great hitter. You know, they've got a good lineup. The Mets have a good lineup. They're going to hit the ball more often than not. They've got Jacob deGrom, who put on a complete masterpiece for six innings last night, and Marcus Stroman, who is right where you want him to be as a two guy tonight. So it's going to come down to the bullpen and losing in these fashions that, you know, are ugly ways to lose. So, I mean, we'll see if they sort that out as the year goes on. But, you know, there are a couple guys in that pen that are big question marks that definitely wouldn't love if I were a Mets fan.
100%. I mean, look, I'm glad to see the Mets out there right now. It's definitely a change of scenery considering we haven't had baseball for a decent amount of time.
It's exciting is what it is.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They have one more game in Philly tomorrow at 4.
Is Nola pitching for the Phillies?
Say that again?
Who's pitching for the Mets? I think Nola's pitching for the Phillies.
Yes.
Who's pitching for the Mets tomorrow?
Who's pitching for the Mets? Is it
Taiwan Walker?
I think it might be. I might be wrong. I mean, right now I'm pretty sure he's their number three, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Hold on. I'm trying to – is there someone we're missing out on? 4 o'clock tomorrow. Oh, Peterson's pitching tomorrow.
Oh, really? I didn't realize
that. Yeah, I would have thought they would have gone Walker first.
Oh, well. Okay.
Whatever.
Well,
it looks like Walker's going to pitch against Miami in the home opener. So
they have Philly tomorrow. Then they have a bit of a break. They come back Thursday. Actually, no, there's no break. I'm an idiot. I'm thinking today is Monday.
Yeah, they have a bunch of days off.
Yeah, so
they have a bunch of games in a row, I mean. Sorry.
Yes. So they right after that, they head back home. They have their home opener against the Marlins. That's a 3-game set, I think. And then they have Philly at home. Philly for again.
So, Philly started off hot. They won their first four. So.
Mm-hmm. So that's our next week or so, give or take. So definitely some winnable games. I think that they should be able to close out the series with the Phillies. Tomorrow should be a win. I haven't really seen too much of Peterson yet, but I'm hoping that this bullpen doesn't make the same mistakes that they've been making. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to say about the Mets. They've only played 2 games, obviously. But, you know, as cautiously optimistic as we've been, as the Yankees fan of the two of us, I'll say, Mets fans, feel free to get excited. You've got a really talented team. It's a good team win tonight. They pretty much clicked on all cylinders for about 80% of the game. So, you know, the Mets are going to be competitive this year. It's not going to be like last year where they're done halfway through. I think the Mets are going to stick around. So, yeah, I mean – what do you have to say about that claim? I think the Mets are going to stick around. They're going to be a good team.
Look, I think that this year, I mean, I said it in our Mets season preview, but they should be able to get the division and at least a wild card.
I mean, hey, Atlanta started off really bad. So,
exactly. Look, this is a playoff team.
It is. It's a playoff team on paper. It is 100%. And I know the NL East is good, but it is. You're right. Let's shift over to the Bronx now. The Yankees are 3-2. They kind of I think the biggest complaint for everyone over the weekend was that they couldn't hit against Toronto. Maybe Toronto's pitching did get better and I was wrong. I think the Yankees just didn't find their groove yet. But, you know, they scored 8 runs in the first 3 games, but the pitching has been really, really good.
Garrett, man.
Yeah, I mean, tonight for Garrett Cole put on a complete masterclass. 7 innings, 13 strikeouts, no runs, no walks, 4 hits. I mean, he's just going out there and showing he's going to be an ace, you know, like if first game where he can really get into a rhythm after the opening day start. And he was terrific. That's as good a start as he's had in his Yankee tenure so far, his short Yankee tenure. So, and Corey Kluber he was pretty good in his debut, you know, just settling in. If he can give us a little bit more length, I'd love that, but we'll see. I'd love for him to build off of that a little bit more. A guy that we talked about a lot who hasn't pitched yet is Jameson Taillon. He's pitching tomorrow as the Yankees go for the sweep over the Orioles. And Domingo Germán didn't look good, but Jordan Montgomery yesterday was fantastic. And I did say that if one of Montgomery or Germán can have a really good year, the Yankees are going to be home cooking. And Jordan Montgomery had a really good start. So.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely can't complain there. The bullpen's been really great. The Yankees got hosed out of another shutout tonight by a challenge call at the end. Yankees fans who saw the game, you know what I'm talking about. And it actually ended up leading to a 2-run homer as the Orioles were down to their final out, but whatever. The Yankees won 7-0 and 7-2 in the last 2 days. So pretty much for the last 3 or 4 years, they've been very dominant over the Baltimore Orioles. And they're 2-0 against them this year. So hopefully they can continue that trend tomorrow and get the sweep.
I think that they will. I mean, look, the way that these Yankees have been trending so far in the beginning of the season, they look like the team that we expected them to be at the beginning of the season.
Well, the last 2 games, yeah. Not as much this weekend. They even though they won a game, they didn't look good.
No, I agree. This past series has been very promising for this Yankees team this year. And if they could keep up the way that they've been playing over these past 2 games, then it's going to be a very good year for Yankees fans.
I mean, did you see Stanton's grand slam last night, dude?
I did. I only saw it on a video after the
fact. Yeah, I know, but like, just say there are maybe 3 or 4 other human beings on this planet that can hit a baseball that far. That was majestic.
Yeah, no, that was definitely.
Yeah, it was a beautiful swing, beautiful, like,
rocket.
How can you not look at that as a baseball fan and be like, man, that's gorgeous? Like, you love to see that.
Mm.
Yeah, hit the ball really hard and really far. I think it was like 120, 471, which is awesome.
I could do that.
A guy that I got on really hard after this weekend was Aaron Judge, more specifically because on opening day, he had 2 chances to win the game for the Yankees in the 7th and 9th, and he didn't come through. And he's actually been sneakily the Yankees' best hitter to start the year. I think he's at a 364 with 2 homers and 5 ribbies right now. And I really got on him after the first game, and hopefully it leads to an MVP caliber season with a ton of health and a ton of home runs, because he hit a 3-run tank job tonight that just looked beautiful into the left field bleachers. So the Yankees have scored 7 runs in each of their last 2 games. Hopefully that means their offense is officially cooking after getting only 8 and 3 combined against Toronto. But they'll be going for the sweep against the Orioles tomorrow with Tyone on the mound. John Means, Orioles' best starting pitcher, going for them. So if they can keep the trend moving, I'll be really happy. A couple guys I want to see a little bit more out of are DJ LeMahieu, who's been fine. I mean, he's still getting on base. He's working a lot more walks than he did initially to start this year. But I'd love to see him get a few more base hits. Gio Urshela has been a little cold to start the year. Glaber's just been meh. But, you know, Stanton and Judge look like they've gotten it going a little bit, which is good. Gary Sanchez started off the year as good as you could hope with two home runs in his first two games. So hopefully as long the Yankees offense is going to be good as long as three or four of their guys are just clicking. So that's less than half the lineup and that everyone else just doesn't completely suck. You know what I mean? So if Judge and Stan are hot this week and everyone else just doesn't go like, oh, for the week, then, you know, we're going to be just fine. But what are your take on the Yankees first five games?
Look, I mean, you hit on a good majority of things. Like I said before, I think that if this Yankees team continues to play that way that they played this series, it's going to be very, I don't know. Look,
it'd be tough to beat them if they play like that, you know?
Exactly. Look, I'm hopeful for this Yankees team. Obviously, I'm not a fan, but I really can't see this Yankees team being anything less than the first in their division. I know that, look, as long as this Yankees team is able to stay healthy,
100%.
They are a World Series contender. It's as simple as that. And obviously injuries have been a huge plague to the Yankees team over the past few years. But as long as they could stay probably, let's say, 75% healthy, I think that this is a World Series team.
Yeah. You're 100% right. They need to stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. Just keep doing what they're doing. And hopefully the offense continues to roll tomorrow. They've got an off day Thursday, and then they've got Tampa over the weekend. So, they're going to have to be in the Trop, which has been a hell house for the Yankees. So I'm not really looking forward to that. I'll be honest. I'm nervous to play the Rays again after what they've put me through the last year. So hopefully the Yankees just keep playing well because, you know, Yankees is the Yankees is the Yankees. Let's talk about the Knicks. They've been on a slide. So,
yeah. So Knicks basketball recently hasn't been as starry as recent play, just because over the past few days they have dropped their four out of their last five.
And they've dropped to one game under 500 into eighth seed in the East. They've got the Celtics tomorrow, so, and it was a tough loss yesterday. I was visiting Penn State, so I didn't get to watch any of it, but, you know, losing to the Nets by 2 points when you have a chance to win it at the end, you know, it stinks. The Nets are that good. They're really good.
So just going over the last five games. So this was at the end of March. Knicks played the Heat. They lost 98-88. This was a winnable game, but the third quarter was just absolutely horrendous on defense for this Knicks team. They were outscored 39-21, which was really, like, I was watching that game and it was just
– it was ugly. It was ugly.
There's no way to put it. It was an ugly loss. They weren't able to do anything in that second half. They had a decent fourth quarter, but it wasn't enough at the end. And overall, just very bleh play.
Yeah, and then the Minnesota game, not the worst loss of the year because that might have been the Philly one where the refs screwed us over, but it's probably the most embarrassing.
Well, yeah, Timberwolves obviously not a good team this year. That was only their, 11th win, 12th win?
It was an embarrassing loss. They shouldn't lose that game, especially going into the fourth with a lead.
Look, this is a team that has not done anything this season. The fact that he was even a close game really pisses me off, and – look, this was a winnable game for the Knicks, and they were we could always blame the refs. We could always blame bad play at the end, but ugly fourth quarter. This should have been a 5-point win, 10-point win, easily.
It should have. Yeah, no, they.
I don't know.
Here's what's frustrating. Just to go through all again, they didn't show up against Dallas, and then they showed up against Detroit with flying colors and had their most dominant win of the year, which is what they should do against the worst team in the East. But then it's the games like the Minnesota game, last night's game against the Nets, like the games against Philly where that they couldn't close out, you know, the game against the Nets a month ago or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was. They're not there yet. They are not the world-beating, superstar, finals-contending, just champion. You know, they're not that team yet.
No, definitely not.
It shows when they can't close out these games, when they blow these leads. They don't have the star power to do it just yet. They don't have the consistency. They don't have the clutch shot making ability. They're not there yet, but they're building something. And as frustrating as it may be in the moment to see these losses go down, and I'm the number one culprit of this, I tweet about the Knicks angrily more than just about anyone. You know, it's encouraging to see when you look back on it, like, hey, they played a really, really good team to the buzzer tonight. And that's how I felt after last night's loss. I probably would have been more angry about it if I actually watched it. But, you know, what they need to do is they need to get off this skid. They need to put another couple wins in a row together. They've got a big bounce back potentially tomorrow night in Boston. If they can win that game in Boston, I'm still feeling really good about this team, you know, to get back to 500. And that'll be a good bounce back. And then they've got Memphis after that, which is another winnable game against a team that's kind of similar to ours record-wise. And then I think they've got Toronto after that, which is a game the Knicks should win. So if the Knicks can take two out of the next three, getting a win in Boston tomorrow would be huge. It puts us 2-0 against them, which would be big in tiebreakers as well, and a team that we're competing against for a spot. So, you know, go prove something to me tomorrow night. Prove that you're still these Knicks that can go out and get me excited and fire me up and make me excited for the future.
No, I completely agree. And you know what? I'm going back to my old roots and saying that I'm extremely mad about Elfrid Payton getting the time that he does.
He's trash.
He's horrible.
You know why he's the best defender in the NBA? He defends the whole Knicks offense.
That is true. That is 100% true. The fact that they're still giving him the minutes that they do baffles me, because he's done nothing but prove time and time again that he does not deserve to be the starting point guard of the New York Knicks.
He's so offensively inept. I don't think when people realize that, like, even with his stats, if he puts up a good statistical game, he is holding everyone back. He's holding RJ back. He's holding Julius Randle back. He's holding Mitch back when he's on the floor. It's just not helpful. He's holding IQ back, obviously, by those are minutes that him or Derrick Rose could have. It sucks.
And I would rather have Ntilikina start.
Ntilikina, so would I, dude. And Ntilikina sucks sometimes. I love Frank. He sucks sometimes.
No.
I'd rather have him on the floor because he's a French favorite. We love him.
He hasn't played at all over the past few games. He did not play against the Nets. He had 3 minutes against the Pistons, and then against Mavericks, he didn't play either. 0 minutes. I do not think that this rotation, what the Knicks are doing currently, what Tibbs is doing, is right, because having Elfrid Payton get the minutes that he does with Rose and Quickly both off the bench just isn't working.
And it's a bad
Frank Ntilikina is not someone that deserves 20 minutes a game, but I'm saying that the way that the Knicks are playing Elfrid Payton,
It's the fact that it's clearly fixable and
Exactly. Like, this is a problem that should not be happening.
Right. It just feels like it's being glossed over. Yeah. You're right. It could be avoided and it should not be happening. And at the very least, you might as well try it. You've lost 4 of 5. Go try something new that could be lightning in a bottle and perhaps make the offense a lot better, since we have one of the worst offenses in the league. You know, like, try something. I mean, we're dying here, man. We're dying here because we've been so excited about this team and now they're playing like crap. So, what else do you have to say about it? I mean, they got to win tomorrow. They got to win tomorrow in Boston. And the Celtics played tonight and lost. Let's go step on their throats. Let's get a big win in the TD Garden.
Look, this Knicks team needs to step it up. They have one of the hardest schedules in the NBA over the next few weeks. And if they want to fight for the playoff spot in the extremely tight East, because you know that the difference between a 4 seed and a 10 seed is not really that much. Right now, they're sitting comfortably, and I say comfortably, not slightly sarcastically.
We're right ahead of Boston.
We're technically a 7 seed right now. We're tied for 7-8.
Tiebreaker, we're 7, yes.
We're 2 games ahead of the 9th seed, which is the Pacers.
One thing that does give me some solace is we are 5 games ahead of the 11. So it seems like, barring a complete horrible collapse in the next 21 games, the Knicks will play in a play-in game at least.
I hope so.
And they're 3 games ahead of the Bulls for 10 and 2 ahead of the Pacers for 9. But thing is, we have the tiebreaker over Indiana, which is huge. They need to start winning again, because, you know, these little slip-ups are not gonna – they're not gonna work anymore, you know. Exactly. And no matter how good our schedule is, like, you have to win the Minnesota game. You have to show up and be better prepared for Miami or Dallas, you know. And it's just got to, it's got to be that way. Like, we're learning, there's growing pains and we get it, but come on, like, if you're going to make a run, now's the time. Like, let's go. Let's get a 4-game, 5-game winning streak here. Let's surge back up to the 5 or the 4, you know, let's prove the Knicks are back. Okay. That's all I got
to
say about it.
No, I completely agree. There's no other better way to put it. I mean, this Knicks team is capable of getting a 4 seed, crazy as it sounds. And you know what? They're not going to get the 4 seed, but
yeah, they're not. And you know, if they get the 6 seed, I'll be psyched.
No, but just the idea that they're playing for it right now shows that this Knicks team is different than past Knicks teams. This team right now is in the 7th seed in the middle of April. That's something we have never seen before. Never seen before, obviously.
In 8 years, we have not seen it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, no, it's encouraging and it sucks in the moment. It's growing pains. They're going to get there. Hopefully it all shakes out for this season. But, you know, in the long run, some of these losses are really going to irk at RJ Barrett. They're going to irk at Julius Randle, all these guys. Make them work harder, come back stronger. I know that sounds cliche right now, but you got to look at that from the objective perspective that this team has sucked for a long time and they don't suck. So you got to be happy with that. But, the Jets made a trade.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that big of a trade. Just the fact that they traded Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers for a... I just muted myself. Jets trade Darnold for a 6th-round pick this year, a 2nd and 4th-round pick year after.
Do you like it?
Okay, I'm going to say this. I think that the Jets should have stuck with Sam Darnold for the season. I think that they could have given him another year. But with that being said, I think that the way
that Wilson is the starting quarterback of the New York.
Look, it's clear that they're going to pick Zach Wilson, and I trust Joe Douglas. I think that he had to have seen something out of Zach Wilson at his pro day that – what's it called? I think that Joe Douglas had to have seen something at his pro day that would have said, hey, he's our guy. We're going to get him this year 100%. Let's get rid of Sam.
Because and he looked good. He looked good in his pro day. I saw some of the highlights. He did look good.
There was an Adam Schefter report saying that if the Jets had pick 3, pick 4, pick 5, anything but pick 2, they would have held on to Darnold. It's just what they see in Zach Wilson is going to be the deciding factor. And you know what? With that information, I feel a little more comfortable with the move. I'm extremely...
I seem confident in Zach Wilson. Yes.
I'm not extremely confident, but the fact that Joe Douglas is confident makes me confident because you know what? In Joe, we trust right now. He hasn't really made too many terrible moves yet. So I'm hoping that that's able to continue. If he believes that Zach Wilson is the future, then I'm completely on board with that. And you know what? I think that this is a win-win-win situation for the Jets, the Panthers, and Sam Darnold. Because you know what? Look, Jets get the compensation for a young quarterback in order to pick another young quarterback. I think that what they got back, I knew that the Jets weren't going to get a first-round pick after the whole free agency happened because they didn't really have too many options after that. But the fact that they were able to get back a 2nd, a 4th, and a 6th is definitely solid enough for me. I didn't really even think that they were going to get a 2nd-round pick.
Yeah, the 2nd-round pick is big. I think that makes it
– because there were reports that Darnold wasn't even worth a 3rd or 4th-rounder.
So, I mean, here's what I'll say. Sam Darnold was never going to work in New York.
No, I agree. I think
not initially from the get-go, like 3 years ago when they picked them. As of right now, he was never going to work with the Jets. Mm-hmm. It was never going to happen.
Well, here, let me – so with the win-win-win situation, so Jets win, young quarterback, they're able to draft, they get
competition. A ton of potential that looked really good at his pro day.
Exactly. Panthers, that's definitely a win. You get a bit of an upgrade from Teddy Bridgewater, who, although is a great quarterback, I really like Teddy. It's not someone that's consistent enough to potentially be a starter. 4 years.
A younger guy in Sam Darnold that still has a ton of potential that could potentially thrive in a new environment.
And look, you're taking a chance. You're picking up his 5th-year option. You're not sticking to him for multiple
years. I didn't see that. Did they pick up?
They picked up his 5th-year option. So
he's the quarterback for the next 2 years. They're going to give it a shot.
Okay, well, look, you're giving a shot for a young quarterback with a ton of potential. You're surrounding him with great weapons. You give him his former wide receiver, Robbie Anderson. You're giving him DJ Moore. Now you have CMC as your running back. You have Matt Rhule. Joe Brady is an offensive coordinator. You're giving him a much better opportunity than what he already had with Adam Gase. We've seen what happened with quarterbacks that are able to thrive after Adam Gase with Tannehill. Obviously, the Tannehill situation is a little different, but it's a little similar in the sense that you're giving someone a chance that's kind of disappointed beforehand, someone that's dealt with injury, someone that hasn't been able to perform in the current system that they were in. I'm rooting for Sam, and that's why I think it's also a win for Sam, because he's in this new situation where he's able to prove himself as a starting quarterback in today's league. And you know what? He's got a lot of doubters. He's got a lot of haters. I do think that over the past few years, he's always been pitted next to Baker, pitted next to Lamar, pitted next to Josh Allen, definitely.
I mean, so, it has to be. Like,
yeah, of course, because they're all coming from the same draft class. It's something that you've seen for a very long time now. So I think that this is definitely a very good opportunity for him to prove that he is a starting quarterback. Because trust me, I do think that he is. I think that he is going to play very well. Because, you know, it's going to hurt. But I think that he definitely has the chance to make this Panthers an above 500 team.
Right. Like I said, year,
but
as good as Sam Darnold could be, we were at the point where it was never going to work for the Jets.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I think that they could have stuck with him another year. I think that they could have tried an experimental thing where they would have been able to trade down and get some extra picks. But I'm not complaining with the situation, because I think that Joe Douglas sees something in Zach Wilson that's going to help us out over the next few years. Look, I'm really hoping that we're able to get a quarterback. I hope that Wilson's able to fit into the Jets scheme. I think with Saleh in at quarterback head coach now, you have Matt LaFleur. Mike, Matt, whatever. I think
one of the LaFleurs.
Well, yeah, whatever. It's giving me hope, which is really bad for the Jets, because anytime I get slightly,
I mean, last time you got hope about the Knicks, good things have happened for the most part.
That's true. That's true. So look, I am going to wrap up this Jets segment by saying that the Darnold trade was best for all parties involved.
It's a win-win-win.
As someone that's going to college in North Carolina, the Panthers are definitely going to be my second favorite team, and I'm going to be
rooting that can be your NFC team for sure.
There you go. So I'm rooting for the Panthers. The Jets do play in Carolina this year, so that'll definitely be an.
Oh, you're definitely going to be there.
That'll definitely be an.
You already planned that out, you little asshole. You already planned that out.
I'm not going to be there. I mean,
you might be at the game.
I don't know. I'm kind of broke. If you want to pay for my ticket, I mean, I'm completely okay with that.
The Apple Sports Media Fund will. Well, pleasure you to that.
Perfect, perfect. That sounds good to me.
Totally a thing.
Well, we'll see what happens from there. Hey, all I'm saying is Bank of America Stadium's only like an hour 15 away from my campus. That's about it for the Jets. I think that this was a good move for both the Jets, the Panthers, and it's a really solid new start for Darnold.
Yeah. Just before we wrap up here, I'll do my little Rangers thing. They won 8-4 tonight. Their offense, when they go off, they seem to really go off. For the Rangers, they've been actually playing really good hockey lately, like overall for the last probably month or so. Ever since they've gotten pretty much healthy, they've been really good. So I feel like it's going to be too little too late. I think they're going to miss the playoffs. They're 3 to 5 points behind the Bruins. They're 5 points behind the Bruins. So I don't think it's going to happen because there's about 20 games left. But, you know, it's encouraging to see them playing good hockey. They've gotten points in their last four games. They've won more games than they've lost since the middle of March. So that's good news. But they beat the Penguins tonight 8-4. I'm going to the Rangers game on Thursday. So that'll be the first sporting event I've been to in 2021 since March 2020, when I saw a Rangers Devils game when the Rangers just got destroyed. But I'm really excited. We'll definitely document the experience. It'll definitely be a good time. But I don't know. The Rangers are playing good hockey. Too little, too late. Good stuff from the young guys. Igor continues to look good. Artemi scoring. Adam Fox is such a good young defenseman. He's unbelievable. Mika Zibanejad's gotten it going a lot better. Lafreniere and Kako scored tonight, which is awesome to see, win or loss. Yeah, no, those are the guys that you want to see developing. So they both pick up their sixth goal of the season, respectively. But, yeah, I mean, Rangers are playing pretty good hockey, not bad hockey at all. So, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to pass Boston, considering Boston's got two games in hand and is 5 points ahead. But, hey, man, I'm enjoying watching the Rangers right now. So it's good news. Good news only on that front. And I don't think anything interesting has happened to the Giants.
No, not really. I mean
we pretty much hit on all our Giants stuff. They had a good free agents class, so I'm not going to complain right now, you know. But We have to draft in like 3 weeks, don't
That's
we?
What I was about to say, the draft is coming up. It's
it is really sneaking up on us, huh?
I think it's the 29th. I might be wrong about that, but
yeah, so that's about 3 weeks. What's
we're
today?
Just over 3 weeks. So definitely something that we're gonna monitor. Free agency is still going on. There's still a lot of good free agents unsigned. It's been a little slower recently, but I think that the Jets and Giants still have, I mean, at least the Jets have enough cap room to make another signing or two.
I doubt the Giants will make another move unless it's just depth. Like, I mean, they pretty much did what they wanted to do with Golladay and Jackson, and you know, they'll draft someone that will probably not make me happy with the pick like usual.
I mean,
I'm never happy with the pick.
That's true. Well, I mean, look, that's going to most likely be one of the last things that we're going to talk about for football before the summer starts.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, then we're going to have to put it on the back burners until like August.
I mean, we started the podcast last August, I think it was.
I think it was the very beginning of August. So
we had the Jamal Adams trade, and we had not the preseason, but just like
the beginning of baseball. And then, you know, I actually listened to it the other day just to humor myself. We were not psyched about Thibodeau.
Yeah, no, we weren't. I mean, I definitely was not.
He's been better than we thought. Not like perfect, obviously, but like, you know, like better than Fizdale, better than anyone since like Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think that's been hurting the Knicks. Mike Woodson going to Indiana University. Congrats to him, by the way. But I feel like
Mike Woodson. I'm happy for him.
I'm happy for him, but it just sucks that he's not a Knick anymore.
Yeah. All right. So that's gonna just be about it for episode number 41. Let's just drop our socials real quick. If you want to follow the account, it's Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok, Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. If you want to follow me, it's Anthony Evangelista on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. If you want to follow Kyle, let me get this.
You can do it.
Kyle Keegan, but the L is a one, Kai1E Keegan on Instagram and Twitter.
Yup. Right on the nose. Right on the nose.
Beautiful. Well, that's just about going to be it. I already said that. I don't know why I'm repeating that, but
we'll see you guys soon. We love you.
For listening to episode 41. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.